Fourth Sunday in Advent, we gather together in the light of God's pure love. Would you prepare your hearts and minds for worship?
Good morning. Is it on yet, Jerry? Hello? Hello? Blue? Testing. Hello? You can hear me. I have a big enough mouth. Hello?
Thank you. Hello? Hello? Testing. Testing. Thank you. Testing. It's coming. Testing. Testing.
Today we light the fourth and last candle of Advent, announcing the final moments of our long journey through the winter darkness towards the new day light of Christmas. We are reminded today that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life everlasting. Likewise, we too are called to love. To love God, to love our neighbor, may love be in all our hearts this Christmas.
God is good, and all the time. We celebrate that truth, especially during this season of Advent. And on this fourth and final Sunday in the season, we extend the welcome of Christ to all of you, especially those of you who are with us visiting. We encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today, and know that you are especially welcome in God's house on this Sunday morning. As we worship, we remember that the light of Christ has grown brighter in this place. Each Sunday, a new candle is lighted, a little more light is in the world, and we are coming closer and closer to that moment of celebration, Christmas Eve. We hope that you all come and be a part of that service. And David, in a moment, is going to share a little bit about some opportunities for that day, and we want you to mark those down and be prepared, because it is tomorrow. Can you believe Christmas is here already? Just give you a little bit of a heads up and prepare you for one part. You notice the pulpit is out, and we have a little bit of a different setup. Later on in the service, after the offertory, we have a drama. The Shepherd. It's really just a monologue. Here we go. It's it's really just a monologue. If you see down in your bulletin, drama right after the offertory. This is something that I wrote probably about 20 years ago that really asked the question, what would it have been like for those shepherds out in the fields by night? And then I'm kind of a redneck at heart, so my question was, what would it be like if I were out in the fields by night? What if it happened today? What if it happened this year? What if it was a group of folks that we know? And we all know folks who are maybe a little rough around the edges, or a little bit hard to be around, hard-living people. Those are the types of folks the shepherds were. And so I want to encourage you to be prepared for that, because it starts off pretty loud, and I don't want anybody to fall out on me this morning. So this drama asks the question, what would it be like for the shepherds? But really the deeper question is, what would it be like for you if you were the one who was out in the field that night keeping watch over your flocks, or keeping the midnight shift, or working at your job behind the counter, whatever it is that you do? What would it be like for you if you were to experience the angels, if they came to you and picked you as the one to come and tell the good news and sent you to Bethlehem to see this thing that the Lord has made?
So I know this is not on the bulletin or in the schedule or everything, but I'd like to ask Mason, David, and Gay to stand up for a few minutes. I'd like to recognize and show our appreciation from the whole church and congregation here for the service and the dedication and the love that Mason, David, and Gay give to us on a daily basis. So through y'all's contributions and everything, we've got a staff appreciation, a token of that I'd like to say thank you. Thank y'all. I'd say we give them a hand.
On behalf of the staff, it is an honor and a privilege to worship and serve with this congregation on a daily basis, so we give you thanks this season of Advent. As we are here in this season of Advent, we turn our attention to our scripture passage for this morning from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, reading verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of the kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure for now, and he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. As we reflect on these words of prophecy that have come true this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer this day. Holy God, your prophet Micah foretold with faith that a new ruler would come forth from Bethlehem. Today we celebrate the fulfillment of your promise. Your daughter Elizabeth proclaimed with faith that her cousin was to be the mother of her Lord. Today we celebrate the fulfillment of your promise. Your servant Mary proclaimed with faith that she would be called blessed by all generations. Today we celebrate the fulfillment of your promise. Make us bold enough to proclaim with faith the coming of your kingdom, the coming of your justice, the coming of your peace. May we sing out the good news of your salvation, trusting in fulfillment of your promises. All this we pray in the name of the one who comes, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, hymn 100, Angels We Have Heard on High. Please. Please stand. Our season of Advent anticipation and preparation concludes tomorrow with our Christmas Eve worship services. And yes, you did hear me right, services. For this year, we're going to have a new service that we haven't done in the past. Many of you probably seen in the news or on social media the idea of a Blue Christmas service, which we worship to remember those who can't be with us this Christmas, whether by passing on or away for this holiday. But this year, at First Baptist Elon, we're going to have a Christmas Eve memorial service, a Blue Christmas service at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. You're invited to come 4 to 4:30. It will be a time of intimacy, a time of reflection, a time of remembering, and a time of prayer. Then, at 5 o'clock, we will have our Christmas Eve communion service that we have had for many years now. We want to encourage you to come to that as well. Come, bring your families, celebrate around the table for Christmas Eve tomorrow night. You're welcome to come to both. You're welcome to come one or the other. Whatever you would like to do, but it is a season of worship. It is a season of anticipation and preparation, and it is time to celebrate. So we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 4 o'clock or at 5 o'clock for our Christmas Eve worship services.
Before we get to our offertory today, I wanted to say a special thank you to Wesley. He is going to play our offertory this morning, Wesley Smith. And you can see him over there. You won't be able to see him when he gets behind the piano. I just want to say a special thank you for Wesley showing off his piano skills. When did he start, Mason? He started yesterday. So I think this is his first year taking Kim. When? September. And you will be amazed at how well he's playing. So we wanted to show his talent to you this morning. So I hope you will enjoy what he has to play for you this morning. Our offertory hymn is The First Noel. And let's stand and let's worship together this morning. The First Noel. 85 in your hymn book if you want to look at in the hymn book.
Pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the best gift that was ever given to man. Thank you for sending your Son to come into our world and become our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that in this time of giving gifts and expressing love that we already have the best present given to us in Jesus. Lord, as we end up in a lot of the gift giving and that, we get caught up in it and we somehow lose our joy. May our prayer be the same as the psalmist who said, "Restore unto us the joy of our salvation." And that we pray as we give our return, our tithes and offerings, may they be used to bring the gospel to others who need the joy of Christmas and the joy of our salvation. For we pray in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Whoa, whoa, Sarah. Whoa, don't. Let me explain. I know, I've been, okay. Let me calm down. Whew. Sarah, you are not going to believe what the guys and I just saw. No, we have not been at the bar. We were in the fields with your dad's stupid, stinking sheep. And you will not, Sarah, just come listen to my story. I know what time it is. Whoa. I did not know what time it is. Come sit down. Sit. Yeah, okay. Now listen. You're not gonna believe this, Sarah. So me and the guys, right? All the guys. Me, no, we were not at the bar. We were in the field with your dad's stupid, stinking sheep. I'm sorry, but you know how much I hate those stupid sheep. Whoa. So we're up there, me and it's all of us, Ray, Big John, Little John, Tommy, Carlos was there, all of us, we're all up there watching those stupid sheep up in the field. I'm not making this up. No, we were not at the bar. I'm telling you where we were. We were working, right? Well, I know, but since then, I know we weren't up in the field earlier, but let me tell you why. Okay, all right. So where was I? Okay. So we're up in the field, right? And we're sitting there watching the stupid sheep, yep. And all of a sudden, there was like this, it was like a boom and a cracker, and a scream, and all this light was all over the place. And all of a sudden, Sarah, up in the sky, you're not gonna believe this, up in the sky, floating right above our heads, was this big old honking angel, man. This great big old honking angel with his little angel wings just a flapping.
You dang told me we were scared. I fell straight on the ground, Sarah. It was so crazy. Big John fell right on top of me. All the sheep, man, they were like fainting goats. It was like dominoes. They all fell out. And here I got Big John huffing and puffing down my neck, squeezing me, and this big giant angel flapping with his little wings says, "You ain't got to be afraid." I'm thinking, right. And then all of a sudden he says, "Because I've got good news for you. For today in Bethlehem, a Savior is born for you." Big John goes, "Is she talking about us?" And I said, "We're the only one here but these sheep." And she says, "You don't got to be afraid, because there's good news. A Savior is born for you in Bethlehem." So we all kind of, I'm not making this up. No, listen. I'm not making this up, Sarah. It happened. It happened just like I'm telling you. You can ask any of them. Ask Ray Ray. Okay, don't ask Ray Ray. I know he lies. You can ask Big John. I know he lies too, but you can ask any of them. They were all there together. We don't all lie. And so this angel is floating up there, and we kind of get in this little position where we kind of get up and we look, and we're trying to watch the angel, and the angel is flapping his wings above us and floating there and telling us that the Messiah is going to be born for us tonight in Bethlehem. Man, our hearts start pounding. We're like, you know, let me look at my calendar here, Mr. Angel, but we've been waiting a couple of thousand years here on this Messiah, and he's telling us that tonight's the night, Sarah. And not only that, he's telling us, so stupid shepherds, with a bunch of stupid, stinking sheep. I mean, who makes this stuff up? And so all of a sudden, while we were sitting there thinking about this first angel, he's not alone anymore. All of a sudden, boom, 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 crack, crack. No, I know you thought you saw lightning. You thought you saw lightning on the hill, but it was not lightning. There was all of a sudden, with this first big old honking angel, a whole bunch of little honking angels. And they were all floating with their little wings. And every one of these little honking angels had a little instrument in his hand. Man, it was crazy. It was like a guy with a drum. A guy with a bass guitar. A guy with electric guitar, harps, cymbals, accordion. Yes, it was an accordion. It was an accordion. It was accordions. There was flutes. And they were just getting down, Sarah. Sarah, it was so crazy. And so me and the guys, right? I mean, I don't mean to brag, but we started getting down with the angels, if you know what I'm saying. And we're up there. I know we can't dance. We were trying, right? So Ray Ray, he was over there doing the running man. We had old Big John. He was doing the lawnmower. I was doing my move. You know my move? Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's the one that got you. And we were all out there. We were getting down with these angels. And all of a sudden, poof. Whoa. It was like as quick as these angels showed up, they were gone. And we were sitting there thinking, what now? So I was like, guys, what do we want to do? And all the guys were like, well, there's only one thing to do. Let's get in the truck and let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. So we go down to Bethlehem. Nothing going on in Bethlehem tonight, Sarah. Nothing. We ride through the streets. You're the jalopy. We get there. We go to the inn, the big nice one. You know at the end of the road? Nothing. Go in. There's some sheep. There's some other stuff over there. We're like, this is not the place. And they're like, how do you know this is not the place? I said, because the angel also said, you'll know who he is because he'll be wrapped up in little baby clothes and lying in a manger. He said you'd find a mom, a dad, but you would find this baby, Messiah, wrapped up in baby clothes, lying in a manger. So he said, this is not it. We go down to the other place. You know, yes, yeah, Billy's place. We go in there. There's a couple of sheep, a goat with one leg. There's a chicken. And a couple of haters, but there's no Mary and Joseph, there's no baby Jesus, or any of that kind of stuff. So we go down to the only other inn in town, the dump. And we go into the dump's barn. And we go back into the very back of the dump's barn, and there we see a chicken, see a little lamb. We see the cutest little donkey. Oh, I want to take this donkey home, Sarah. Cute little donkey. And then there is Mary and Joseph, and then lying in this big manger is this little baby. And we're all around the baby. We're all about some babies. We were like saying, hey, baby. Hi. Hello, baby. Big John, you know, with his big beard, he goes over and goes, hey, baby. The baby cries. The baby cries. Scares the baby. So I step in with my baby skills, and I'm like, hi. Hi, little fella. Hey, oh, did you do a stinky? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And then we remembered what the angel had said. Yeah. You'll know who he is because he'll be wrapped up in, yeah, baby clothes and lying in a manger. Wow. We suddenly was like, this is the baby that the angels were talking about right here. And we were all over this baby. It was like, hush. And we're looking at this baby with his cute little honking baby nose and his little baby toes. And then I remembered something else the angel said. Sarah, you remember when I told you the angel said, yes, a Savior is born for you. Me. Sarah, it hit me. This angel wasn't just talking about everybody else. He was also talking about me. And for the first time in my life, Sarah, I felt hope. I mean, I felt real hope. I don't know when the last time it was that I felt any kind of real hope. And it wasn't like I just wasn't thinking about all these things, but suddenly, Sarah, I just didn't care. I wasn't hurting about your dad's stupid sheep and the job I got and how much it stinks. I wasn't hurting about all these bills that we got to pay and we don't know how we're going to pay them. I wasn't hurting, Sarah, about you and me and how things ain't right. You know they're not right. I know they're not right. But it was just like, even though I knew about all those things and all those things were going in my head, I was just looking at this little baby in this little manger, and all I could feel was peace and hope, Sarah. Right there in a little bundle of baby clothes was nothing but pure love and peace and hope. And Sarah, that's when I knew. That's when I knew I had to come back here. I had to find you. I had to take you with me. Sarah, you have got to meet this little baby. This little baby is the Messiah. Sarah, don't get up. Sarah, I am not lying to you. Sarah, you got to believe me. You got to come with me this one time in your life. Sarah, don't walk out that door. Sarah. That didn't go as planned. Sarah, you got to believe me. Sarah, he's the Messiah.
Thank you.
There's not a lot we really know about shepherds in the fields, and we don't know these guys' names. Those all were made-up names, obviously. We don't know what their character might have been like. Were they good people or not? We do know that shepherds were the outcasts of society. They were the nobodies. They were doing a job that no one else really wanted to do. And so it was seen as sort of a lowly position in life. If you couldn't find anything else, if your family was not upstanding, then you'd find yourself outside of the city on a hill in the middle of the night watching over some stupid honking sheep. And so in that very moment, we are told something about this Messiah that is a mystery to the ages, that he would come to such lowly folks, such nobodies with no names, and that even history itself could not record who they were, how old they were, or even how many they were, and yet they were out there, and they received an angelic host with good news. That theme repeats itself throughout the gospel birth stories of Jesus, whether it be these shepherds of lowly position or Mary and Joseph themselves, who were likewise pretty much nobodies from a nowhere town, Nazareth, which barely even is an archaeological footnote anymore on the map. Mary and Joseph, who had no fortunes, no fame, no royalty, except for a royal line going back to David, which meant very little in their culture and society of their time. And many people had much forgotten about prophecies and promises and Messiah. We especially focus this morning on Mary and her lowly position, for we don't know much about her, but we can read into the story some of what we know about the time that she lived and the society and the cultural norms. If you came to One Starry Night, you perhaps were surprised to learn that she was probably very, very young, 12, 13 years old, perhaps even as young as that. And she was someone who would have been just starting out in life, but culture was different, and the need for birth was paramount to make children, to continue the population, and to do that, you better get married young in a culture where the life expectancy was not very high, especially under Roman oppression. So she was young, she was oppressed, she was unwed at the time of conception. And there's Joseph, a poor carpenter, and I don't know if you've seen many artistic renderings of first century Palestine, but there's not a lot of wooden houses. Wood was not a big part of the workings of society, and so he too was working a lowly position. Mary was not marrying into, or marrying up, as they say. She was not advancing herself by her choice of Joseph. But there she was, this lowly teenage girl from a nowhere town with no funds and living under oppression, with no political power or power of any kind, to be quite frank with you, because women were treated much like property, bought and sold into marriages beyond their choice. And so here she is, and an angel appears to her and tells her, "You are highly favored." That the angel of the Lord tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and she will conceive and bear a child, and you will call his name Jesus. And the angel gives her this sign. He tells her that she will find out that her cousin, Elizabeth, even in her old age, she herself has become pregnant. You know the story as it moves forward. This is, of course, the mother of John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner of Jesus. And so we pick up and enter into that story again this morning in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, where Mary has heard her good news. She's been given a promise of the sign of Elizabeth being born with child. And so in those days, Mary set out, and she went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a truth only a mother can understand, that feeling of the child moving within you. I can remember looking at my wife's belly when she was pregnant and great with child herself, and it looked like something from an alien movie, seeing little hands and feet pushed up against the wall. But here, John does one better. When he hears the very sound of Mary's voice, he jumps for joy within the womb. And she says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed, that's an important factor, just to note, just to footnote that what she is about to say is not of her own revelation, not of her own making. It's not her opinion. It's not what she thinks about the situation. It says she is filled now with the Holy Spirit. Like the prophets of old, she is about to, thus says the Lord. So filled with the Holy Spirit, she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? She's naming already that Mary is the mother of the Lord, Messiah. For in verse 44, for as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken by her by the Lord. Mary, a lowly, nobody oppressed teenage girl, believed that God would do something big through her. I think that is the key to understanding the following verses, is that Mary believed that God was capable of using even her. That God was capable of blessing and working through her lowly condition, through her nobody state. Verse 46 tells us, and Mary said, really, that should say, and Mary sang. It's written as poetry. It's a beautiful song of praise by Mary to the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor upon the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mary says so much that could be unpacked here, but there are two verses, two lines that are key to it all when she says he has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, the nobody. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The title of this sermon is that Jesus is for weirdos. That's about as extreme as you can go. Jesus is for losers and nobodies. Jesus is for miscreants, and Jesus is for ne'er-do-wells, however you want to word it. Jesus is for those nobody nothings from their lowly state. Jesus is for you no matter what your state is, in fact. For when we look throughout the Bible, there are shepherds and there are wise men. There are kings and queens and paupers and beggars. There are people in the alleyways eating pork and beans. and there are people dining with the kings and the queens of society, and that Jesus is somehow for all of them. We church folk, we often get encapsulated so much into our church culture and our church language and our church dress codes and our church seating charts and our church behaviors that anybody who is outside of those boxes, we question them. We fear them sometimes. We look down on them sometimes. We keep a distance from them at some times. We refuse to make space within our own body for them. We refuse to adjust or adapt or change so that there might be a little corner, just a sliver, for those who don't fit our expectations. How does that square up with shepherds in a field and Mary in a barn? Jesus is for those who are not like us, who don't dress like us or talk like us. Jesus is for those who don't believe like us. And he is here for all peoples, not just church peoples. I've been reminded by that fact several times and in several ways throughout this Advent season. I was in the store, and as I was busily trying to gather up random things to share with random people for Christmas presents, and in the hustle and bustle of that moment, I heard behind me the words of Arabic spoken. A family walking through the store and the marketplace together. I heard the word Allah, and my first reaction was, I wonder what they think about all this Christmas mess strewn over the marketplace, the commercialization of it all. And I was reminded in that very same moment, Jesus was born for that family, for them as well. I was reminded this Christmas of someone who is an old enemy, who has done wrong to me and to my family many times over. And I was reminded as I prayed for them, you know what? Jesus is for that person too. Jesus is for all of us, that people don't have to even be deserving of it. I put out here on the first pew, a can of beef stew, because so many people we have walked through the doors of our church on a weekly basis who have gotten their bills out of hand, who have failed to pay rent or phone bills or electric bills, and yet they're driving nice cars and with nice rims, and they've got a cell phone nicer than mine, and you go to their house to deliver food because they say they can't get out that day, and they've got a house that's kept cooler than mine or warmer than mine, or they've got satellite. I don't have satellite. But they're asking for food. And it's easy to say, hang on, you don't deserve it. Until you see those little faces peeking out behind the corner. And you realize it's not about what I think someone deserves. And do I deserve it? Jesus the Christ. We had a guy come by this week. And he said he had a story. They always have a story. About a 4-year-old toddler who... he didn't have anything for Christmas for this kid. And can I just get some money to go up to the store? Well, we don't give out money, by the way. We have gas that we're able to help people get gas. We have a way to get people food in our food pantry. But we told him, just leave us a list of the things your child wants for Christmas, and we'll make it happen. Well, he just wanted a Mickey Mouse stuffed animal. Could you just give me $10? I can go up to the store and get it. No, we'll have it here for you by 5. Well, I don't know if I can make it today. Maybe, well, tomorrow we're open. Well, maybe Thursday. Thursday came and went, and last night when I came by the church, this Mickey Mouse was still sitting there. My first reaction is anger towards this man. I think about that little kid who will wake up on Christmas morning and Mickey Mouse will not be there. He doesn't deserve to be helped, right? But then Jesus would say, you don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve the grace and the mercy that God gives and affords to me. And I promise you, if you're anything like me, you let God down all the time. We don't ever get it right. I think back to the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might say, seeing in that man's eyes the sense of desperation and the swirl of frustration and franticness of something that was going on in his life that probably couldn't even begin to understand. Clearly, a mental illness was at work. Mary reminds me that it's a good thing I don't get to decide who God saves and who God doesn't. I'd be a lot harsher. I'd be a lot more judgmental. It's a good thing I don't get to pick who gets into heaven and who doesn't. And Mary's story and her statement about bringing down the lowly and lifting up the hungry, this story reverberates throughout the life of Jesus and reminds me again and again and again that God is building a kingdom for all people. And when I die and go to heaven one day, I promise you I will be surprised to see some folks there. And I can definitely promise you there's going to be some folks real surprised to see me. But we are all God's children. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we know that people are people and they do people-ish things. And as angry as we might be, and rightly so, we ask that you also help us to remember to love our neighbor, even the no good ones, even the weird ones, even the bad ones. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing our final hymn for today, Away in a Manger? Please stand if you're able.